This is the third week since Easter. In the Christian calendar, we call it Eastertide. In other words, it's not just over when the sales end at the store. In fact, it's sort of same thing happens at Christmas, doesn't it? We sort of have our event on the 24th of December, and then we think everything is all done, even if we do a little something on the 25th. But really, Christmastide goes for a while, where we still think about the event that took place. Easter similarly. So Easter, Eastertide, the third week of Easter. And here we have it. So we had the Palm Sunday. We had the resurrection event. We had the opportunity then for the discovery of the tomb and the women who came. We talked perhaps about that in previous weeks. And then there was Thomas, the one who said, "You have to show me the wounds, and I have to put my hands there to be sure." So this week, we're into yet another part of the Easter story. This week, we're talking about those who were walking along the road, and a stranger came up to them, and they did not recognize him. Has that ever happened to you? Somebody perhaps you've already known, and you meet them out of context, or it's been a while. I was at an event yesterday where I saw some people I hadn't seen in a few years. And as we reminded each other of our names, it was kind of that feeling of, I really liked you the first time I met you. It's even better the second time around. It's like, oh, sure, I remember. And then it kind of comes flooding back. But they look differently. Perhaps I recognize their voice. You've had that kind of experience, haven't you? Where you're just not quite sure. Or sometimes when I start talking to somebody I haven't seen in a while, I can remember their children. I can remember where they lived back when. And it's like, come on, brain, give me the name. Give me the name. I just need the name. It would help a lot in terms of recognizing. So they were walking along this road to Emmaus. And we've just heard the story. And this stranger came up and wanted to know what was going on. Do you know how much our lives have changed since these have been invented? If you can't see it, it's one of those little phone gadget things that you carry in your pocket. So now, if we want to know what's going on, before we embarrass ourselves and say, I have no idea, we say, excuse me. And we turn around and we plug it into Google and we hit the button and then we become instantly informed and we can turn around and be confident again. I don't believe they had this gadget on the road to Emmaus. Not yet. And so the stranger said, well, tell me. And the response was like, you must be the only guy in Jerusalem that doesn't know what's going on. The whole city's been in an uproar. And there was this fellow who came to the city who claimed he was the Savior. And all of these things happened, and he was arrested, and he was crucified. And now they say that he's alive again. Of course, the interactions we now know by looking back through the scripture were between the disciples and Jesus himself. But they did not recognize him until they were together and he revealed himself one last way. And their eyes, the scripture says, were opened. and they recognized. It's kind of an embarrassing situation, isn't it? I mean, what would you do if you were like with somebody really famous for a while and you didn't recognize them? I may have told you this story before about the day that I met Kevin Bacon. You know, the actor who talks about, you know, there's 7 degrees of separation and everybody in the world is ultimately related to Kevin Bacon. The circumstance was actually I was to present a check that my organization had fundraised to the State Department of Children and Families with the commissioner, and the Globe was going to be there and take our pictures. And it was with another actor, Tim somebody, that was in a movie that was about Mystic River, or Tim Robbins. And so I went to this hotel downtown to meet this fellow. I had this great big styrofoam check that was worth nothing, but it had a nice picture on it. And I carried it in, and I was waiting in this empty hotel ballroom for the others to arrive. And as I waited, this fellow came in, and he was casually dressed and had a leather, you know, kind of a short leather jacket on, and we just started chatting. The others were very late. Then I got a phone call that the commissioner was going to be late. And so we sat there and we talked, me and this one gentleman, for 25 minutes. My name is Rich. My name is Kevin. Okay. I was so oblivious and so anxious about the other. So we went through this whole deal. Tim Robbins finally came in. Commissioner came in. Globe came in. Pictures. We all stood there, smiled cheesy. Got it all done. Off we went back to my office. And when I told someone in my office that I had just been with these people, and they said, well, did you meet Kevin Bacon? I said, who? They said, Kevin Bacon. You know, the 7 degrees of separation guy and all of that? And I said, oh, well, I just sat for 25 minutes chatting with this guy named Kevin. What's he look like? And so they showed me his picture, and I went, that's him. A little after the fact. And it's like, oh my gosh, I didn't know who I was meeting. Now, you've had that experience sometimes. A friend, family member you haven't seen in a while, a colleague, and it's like, oh my goodness. Their eyes were open. And then they recognized him. When he first appeared on that road to Emmaus, they didn't quite know who he was. Perhaps they were still consumed with the notion that he had died, and it wasn't widely yet known that he had been raised again. And he accompanied them, and he told them his story. And then they discovered who he was. It's a miracle. Now, what's a miracle? In my way of thinking, and it could be just solely my way of thinking, a miracle occurs when God somehow intercedes directly into our world. Sometimes we like to think about miracles like they're kind of the things that happen magically and we don't know how to explain it. So sometimes on the news in the morning, they have these eye-popper moments that they show you to kind of lighten up the news after all of the horrible things. People have been maimed and killed in wars, and then let's do some eye-poppers, and they show you these goofy things like, you know, the bear that got in somebody's garage and so on and so forth. Well, way back when television was new, do you remember the old show Candid Camera? That was kind of the first eye-popper show, wasn't it? And if you don't know what that is, it was a show where they would photograph or videotape people in kind of constructed and embarrassing situations that they would construct to see what their reaction would be. For example, they would do things like hang a bird cage and have sound effects that sounds like a bird singing, and then ask people to describe the bird that was in the cage. And of course, the reality was no bird in the cage. But people would start to make these stories up about the bird they saw. There was another one where a guy was sitting at a coffee shop like a Dunkin' Donuts. And he'd put his cup down, and the daisy that was in the flower vase on the table would lean over and drink the coffee out of his cup. And then he would go to lift his cup, and it was empty. And then they would try to catch his reactions to that. And one of the guys said, well, it must be a miracle. So we think of miracle as explaining the unexplainable. But I think in the context of our faith, a miracle perhaps is not well explained, but is that time, or are those times, when somehow God reaches in directly to our lives, which is exactly what he did in Jesus Christ. It was the miracle of miracles for all time that his only begotten Son would be the one who lived and died and was raised again, that we might have life. And that when we encounter the Christ and recognize him, the miracle occurs all over again. It might be little miracles. It might be those ones that you're not so sure. Like somebody actually let me go through the intersection the other day and yielded. Or some other time when somebody smiled and made an appropriate, encouraging gesture instead of the gruffness that we often experience. What are the small miracles, those little times that help us recognize that indeed Christ is alive in our life and in the world around us? Do we see it in the beauty when we walk out on a day like this and we see the budding flowers beginning to burst forth? God interceding one more time. And after a long and trying winter and all of the struggles of the life we've experienced in the last months, isn't God smiling on us one more time? Can we recognize when God is present? Can we recognize when the Christ is here? When we are gathered as a community of believers and we find encouragement from one another, can we see the beauty that exists in a particular place? Can we see God's presence when we let the pedestrian pass? Can we see it in the sky? Can we see it in the hope that is ours? Can we ask ourselves, what is Easter? What is this resurrection life all about? And I would suggest, and don't mean to be presumptuous about this, that your answer to that question of what is Easter all about will guide the quality of your own daily existence. If you can see God in the little miracles around you, those times when God makes God's self present to us, when we can see the business of God is about caring and loving and hoping and starting new when we're discouraged. It's what Paul described in 1 Corinthians 15, Christ died for our sins in accordance with the Scriptures. He was raised on the third day. He appeared to Peter and to the 12, and then he appeared to more than 500 at one time. And then it went on to say, if this were not so, according to Paul, If Christ has not been raised, our preaching is in vain and our faith is without hope. Can we see the miracle? Can we figure out when Christ is present? Even if it's a little bit after the fact, like my experience with my friend Kevin. Then it was like, oh, now I get it. It makes sense today. When we've seen the Christ and we haven't recognized him, and then it dawns on us, like the morning dawn lighting on Marblehead, the first place the light arrives. It's like, oh, now I get it. Because we know that God's divine intervention, the miracle, is to know the love of Christ which surpasses all knowledge and helps us to become fulfilled with the fullness of God. Or according to Peter, it was becoming partakers in the divine nature, becoming sharers in the life of God. For God took on humanity that we might share in divinity by grace. Or some of the saints that have followed, some of the ancient thinkers. Saint Irenaeus said, in his unbounded love, God became what we are, that he might make us what he is. Or another saint, Athenaeus, once said, God became human that we might become one with God by God's grace. There's no doubt that the resurrection event has changed our life even more than our technology. It has given us insight even greater and more instantaneous if we can but open our eyes and our ears and our hearts and our spirits to the presence of God. There was another road story in the scriptures that you probably are familiar with. The one about the Samaritan and the people walking and discovering the man who was left to die, and how they responded, how they helped, and how that ultimately it became clear, if you do these things to the least of these, my sisters and brothers, even if they're not necessarily just like us, it's as though you've done it directly to me, said Christ. And so we recognize who he is, his presence in our lives, and we respond with the behavior and actions that he calls us to show more humanity. There's the miracle. That's when the miracle occurs. When we take the time to lift our eyes from the screen and look to the people around us, to acknowledge them, even to just say good morning in a welcoming way. I know there's sort of this unspoken rule that you guide your eyes the other way and don't speak to people when you pass them on the street. But when you do, sometimes you get funny looks, like, what do you want from me? But sometimes somebody responds, and a relationship for at least an instant moment occurs, and there's a connection, and there's a humanity that occurs, a miracle of God. We're not designed by God to be isolated human beings. We're created to live in relationship. That's where we find our meaning. That's where we find our joy and our peace and our hope. The little miracles, when we recognize Christ alongside us and our eyes are opened and we recognize him. Well, of course, that poor guy in the coffee shop, that wasn't a flower at all. It was a trick. There was no miracle. They had devised it. Somehow, he was befuddled, but he still said, it was a miracle. That flower, it's a miracle. Well, the flower bowed its wild and beautiful head and drank his coffee, and the man could not avoid seeing it. No one could. He was a dingy and tired-looking man. He was just in his shirt sleeves. He had been taught by life that there are no miracles in this world, and there was very little joy. But suddenly, before his eyes, a little miracle happened. And it changed him somehow. We are bound to each other, one way or another. It's a miraculous view that we have when we walk with our Jesus, with our Christ. Because then we cannot help but see the truth. And once we see it, we cannot help but try to move away, and we can't because it's there. And then we know that the miracle exists. And the only thing we can do when Christ comes into our lives is to open our arms and embrace our lives with the miracle of the power of God and let it flow. Let God be God in and through us. King of kings, Lord of lords, Savior, the power of transforming love. And when you let that happen, small miracles will occur in your own life. And you'll find that with the people around you as well. So, the next time you go to Dunkin' Donuts and your flower starts sipping your coffee, what will you do? Will you proclaim it a miracle? Through Jesus Christ our Lord and His resurrection, we are reminded that God's life is for us, that God wants to share His life with us, beginning now and forever. His life is a miracle, a mystery, a power, and a joy. His love of our hearts, His light for our minds, His grace with our souls, to share His life with us no matter where we are, no matter what we feel, no matter where we've been, no matter what we've done, no matter what we may be going through, God wants to share His life with us beginning right now in this moment, in this life, and forever with Him. Hallelujah. It's the Easter season. Christ is risen, and miracles are occurring around us. Let us pray. Remind us, O God, in this resurrection season, in this sense of ascension from new life that you have experienced, that you are here and want to share your life with us, and make our ordinary, everyday experiences filled with your miracle presence. Help us to begin now and forevermore. Amen.